Welcome to the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am Nate Schreiber, and as always, with my co-host, Alex Pollinger.
All right, we are back with our second edition of the offseason. We're going to go through the offensive skill position groups here with wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs. And we're going to talk about what's on the roster, what might be there week one. There could be a lot of changes, especially at running back, I would think, Nate. We already had Charles Clay get cut as well. And then we'll talk about, you know, what free agents are available to the Bills and, you know, the biggest names at those positions in the draft right now and where we could see Bills taking those players. So, Nate, just to catch up quick on the news since we last recorded a little over a week ago, Charles Clay is gone and the Bills signed Spencer Long to a pretty team-friendly contract to be, you know, a reserve center, guard, potentially a starter.
Yeah, that contract that they signed Spencer Long to was, in my opinion, a very, very good contract. When it first came out and I first saw it, I was a little concerned about the length and the dollars. But then we quickly learned that most of that's not guaranteed. There's a chance he doesn't see more than a few million of that. So it seems like a pretty good signing. And then getting rid of Clay, again, something that we kind of have expected the Bills to do. So that I was honestly more surprised that he got signed as quickly as he got signed than I was that the Bills cut him.
Yeah, I mean, it's a guy that has that degenerative knee condition, if I remember right, which was just silly to sign him to a contract like that in the first place with Doug Whaley. But, I mean, Arizona only gave him a one-year deal, I think, for around $3 million. So there's apparently not that big of a market for him. I was surprised how quick he got scooped up, but yeah. Brandon Bean definitely made the right move there by getting rid of Charles Clay.
Yeah, for sure. And that now we are certain after that that tight end is a position that the Bills are going to need to do something about this offseason, whether that is in free agency or through the draft. They have to upgrade the position.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we see them address it in both, you know, early on in the draft and maybe with a splashier free agent signing. So Nate, let's start off with running backs here. The Bills have four running backs on, you know, what is the 90-man roster that they take into training camp right now. Keith Ford will be there. I think he's young. He's a developmental guy. You know, probably be on the practice squad again. Marcus Murphy kind of seems to be a favorite of, you know, this regime, and he's been decent when he's on the field, but nothing more than really a reserve option. LeSean McCoy and Chris Ivory are both over 30 years old. And they can clear some cap by cutting both of those guys. Do you think they're on the roster week one?
I think one of them will be. I don't think they're going to end up cutting both of them. I would honestly be surprised if the Bills did move on from LeSean McCoy. Yes, his cap number is fairly high this year. It's like $9 million. But they have so much cap space that honestly doesn't really matter. Like, his cap number shouldn't really matter to them this year because there's no way they're going to be in a position after this offseason where they've signed so many contracts that $9 million makes a difference to whether or not they can stand to the cap. And because of what he's done in Buffalo and what he's meant to Buffalo over the past 5 years since he's been here, I would be surprised if they moved on from him, especially because this is his last year, no matter what. He will not play beyond 2019 in Buffalo.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, unless for some reason he has a huge breakout year. I don't see it happening. It just did not look the same on the field. Granted, the offensive line was worse, but that explosiveness, that pop, just wasn't there. And I don't think that's going to come back for a guy over 30. And you make a good point that he means a lot to that team in the city. But when it comes down to it, is your team any better when it comes to the first week in September because LeSean McCoy's on it? And I think the answer is no. And I think that's a pretty compelling reason to clear, you know, a little over $5 million in cap space to roll over into the next year.
Yeah, I would certainly be okay if they, I would be perfectly okay with it if they did cut him. I would understand. And it would make sense to me. I just don't know if they necessarily will. I do have a little bit of a soft spot for LeSean McCoy. Even though his performance last year was not his normal performance. And you're right, he's 31 years old, or he will be 31 years old during this season. I don't think he's 31 yet, but he's old for a running back. Like, there's not very many running backs out there that have produced the numbers that you'd expect a $9 million running back to produce at the age of 31.
Yeah, and I'd probably give it about a 60% chance that he's on the roster week one. I think that factors in some of the legal, you know, problems that he could potentially have from off the field stuff. But let's not get caught up too much on LeSean McCoy. We can have plenty of time to talk about that as we get closer to the season, if he's not cleared from the roster by then. Nate, do you see them signing anyone in free agency? And that probably hinges on whether they cut either LeSean McCoy or Chris Ivory.
They're not going to make a splash in free agency. They might sign someone like a Chris Ivory from last year. They might go out towards the bottom of the free agent bucket of running backs, and they could sign someone like a Jeremy Hill, who's only 26 years old, right? A Ty Montgomery, who's, I think, 25 or 26 years old. They could do something like that. They're not going to go try and go after one of the top running backs. I mean, the only running back that's out there that really is a one that I would potentially, as a team, look at trying to lock up long-term at the right price is Tevin Coleman. I mean, he's 26 years old. He averaged like 5 yards a carry last year when he was healthy and playing. But I don't think the Bills are – NFL teams don't make the splash running back signings anymore. And they're starting to really actually learn that running backs are not all that important.
Yeah, I completely agree, Nate. I mean, Tevin Coleman, C.J. Anderson are both guys that make sense for the Bills. I would think Tevin Coleman, because he's pretty young with low mileage, because he's been the number two in Atlanta at only 26 years old, I think he could get a deal more in the like 4-year, maybe $20 million range. But I'd say that's worth it if you're the Bills. If you get rid of both LeSean McCoy and Chris Ivory with the understanding that you're going to sign Tevin Coleman maybe to be your feature back, or kind of maybe be your lightning to like a Thunder type running back, a big bruiser that you draft or something. I could see that as a strategy where if they clear both McCoy and Chris Ivory from the roster, that, yeah, go get Tevin Coleman and then draft a guy in the third or fourth round.
Yeah, and I'm sure they will draft someone in the middle to late rounds of the draft at running back. It doesn't make sense for them not to, given, I mean, you look at where most of the running backs that are currently studs in the NFL have come from. I mean, they've been mid-late round picks, and there's so many running backs out there that can perform the job, because these days in the NFL, being one of the best running backs doesn't really mean that much. You don't make a huge difference to whether or not your team wins or loses. And I mean, it's tough to say, and it sucks for players that play that position, but I mean, look at the Rams are a pretty good example of that, with Todd Gurley pretty much not playing in the playoffs, even when he was healthy, because they found another guy off the street who could do the same job.
Yeah, and you know, if you clear, you know, around $6-7 million with, you know, McCoy and Ivory, that gives you a little bit of flexibility to pay for a guy like Tevin Coleman, who might command $5 million a year or so, which isn't terrible given all the cap space they have. I don't know if I would call it value. You could also look at a guy like TJ Yeldon that might command a little bit less money, and he's only 25 years old. He's a bit more of a change of pace receiving type back, but I think he could, you know, be useful in Brian Daboll's offense, and I'd be interested if the Bills take a swing at a guy like Yeldon.
Yeah, I do expect to see them sign someone. I have no idea who they may or may not sign, but I expect them to probably bring probably five running backs into camp. They'll sign one, they'll draft one, they'll probably cut one of at least one guy that's currently on the roster between McCoy and Ivory. And go from there. I think running back is a position, as Bills fans, that we really shouldn't be overly concerned about who is playing running back. We should be more concerned about who is playing all the other positions on offense. And then after that, we can be a little concerned about who's playing running back.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good assessment, Nate. And I haven't looked a lot at the names in the draft at running back just because it's tough before the combine. You don't know who's really going to pop with a good workout there and, you know, elevate up the draft board. But I don't see the Bills spending a day one. They're definitely not picking a running back in the first round. I think being smart enough not to do that. But I could see them, you know, maybe late second, late third round on day two, depending on what's there. If Brandon Bean sees value, he could trade up or sit tight or trade down and take a running back that, you know, could be an impact player.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are going to be a ton of running backs available in the mid to late rounds that are really good players. I mean, my favorite running back, at least from the highlights I've watched, I have not watched a ton of tape of running backs, but I've watched a lot of Devin Singletary from FAU, and he is, in my opinion, going to be a very, very special player in the NFL, and it would not surprise me if after the combine he shoots up a bunch of draft boards and ends up going in the second or third round, which right now I don't think he's projected to go that high.
Yeah, it's tough before the combine. We don't really have an idea of what the consensus is for a player, like what round even. So it's kind of tough to tell. We can get into that more as the draft gets closer. Once, you know, we get through the good chunk of free agency, you know, where teams actually sign notable players. So, Nate, we'll move on to wide receivers now. And there's not a whole lot. Really, is there anyone guaranteed a roster spot? Maybe Zay Jones?
I would say if Robert Foster just shows up in the same shape he showed up in last, like he was in at the end of the year last year, and he's pretty much guaranteed a roster spot. I think the only way that Robert Foster would be gone is if he shows up out of shape or like doesn't try or something like that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's at the point as well where if the Bills cut him or put him on a practice squad, he'll be signed by another team just based on what he did last year. So it would have to be something pretty egregious for Robert Foster to not be on the roster, I think, or at least he'd have to have like a terrible camp or something. But yeah, Robert Foster, Zay Jones. After that, it's kind of just a bunch of developmental guys that might make the roster if they have a good camp. We have Duke Williams, who was the CFL's top receiver, but he's really, really slow. Runs like a 4.7.
Yeah, and there's not a long history of wide receivers coming from the CFL and being successful in the NFL. I mean, there's not a long history of players in general doing that, but wide receivers especially. I think clearly he's very talented. He's a physical specimen. He can make pretty much every catch, but I think he's going to be limited in the NFL because he's not going to get a running start on half of his snaps anymore, and that's going to be a big change. That's the biggest change for wide receivers coming from the CFL to the NFL is, in the CFL, two guys get running starts every snap. And in the NFL, you don't have that. And Duke Williams is a guy who I think could be hurt by that tremendously in the NFL because of his lack of speed.
Nate, so given his size and his lack of speed, do you think maybe he's a developmental, like, H-back tight end type position? Like, almost like Charles Clay was when, you know, he's in the prime of his career.
I would say probably not. And the reason for that is he is, like, 25 years old, and he's never played any position but wide receiver. And I think trying to reteach a guy to play a new position at this point in his career when he's played a different one professionally really well, I don't think an NFL team would try to do that unless they bring him into camp and they see, okay, this is not going to work at wide receiver immediately. But I would imagine that he's going to be a wide receiver.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I am interested to see what they'd be willing to do if they want to get creative. I don't think anyone's really going to jump to sign Duke Williams off a practice squad or sign him if the Bills cut him. So maybe if they see he doesn't have it as an NFL wide receiver, they will make him kind of into a project like Logan Thomas was. Isaiah McKenzie is a guy I could see making the roster just as a gadget-type player like Tavon Austin. But, I mean, he's certainly not guaranteed a roster spot. He'll be there for camp. And I'm also interested to see what Cam Phillips brings to the table after a full offseason and see if he can make the roster.
Yeah, the wide receiver position is going to be interesting for the Bills. They have a lot of work to do there, and they are certainly going to look to make upgrades during the offseason, probably both in free agency and in the draft at that position.
Yeah, so speaking of free agency, do you see the Bills dishing out any real money at wide receiver? I mean, I don't see anyone on this list that makes me really intrigued in the Bills spending any serious cash.
The only name that I think is intriguing is Devin Funchess.
That?
Because of the Carolina connection. I think it's intriguing. I don't know if they'll go and shell out money for him necessarily, but I mean, he's 25 years old. They know him pretty well from Carolina. And he's a guy that I think they're at least going to look at trying to bring in the offseason.
Yeah, I think it would have to be on a pretty team-friendly, cheap deal. I think the Bills and the fan base are both, you know, scarred by Kelvin Benjamin. That's not to say they're the same player and the same person, but they're the same body type. Funchess isn't going to burn you with speed. He's a big-bodied guy. Kind of had an attitude problem, it sounded like, at the end of the year with Carolina, where he ended up being a healthy scratch. I'm not sure what happened there, but I don't know if the Bills want to go down that road again like they just did.
No, and if you look at other receivers who have recently signed contracts about the age that Funchess is, you see the contracts are Robert Woods signed a 5-year, $34 million deal. Marvin Jones signed a 5-year, $40 million deal. Allen Robinson signed a $42 million deal. Funchess is probably going to command something in between like $35 and $40 million over 4 or 5 years. And someone will probably pay him that, which is why I think the Bills will, and I don't think that team will be the Bills. If the Bills can get him at a cheaper dollar amount, they probably would go after that. But I don't know if they're going to go out and shell out an $8 million a year contract to Devin Funchess.
I could see it being a 5-year, $40 million deal, kind of in the same format of Spencer Long, where there's not much guaranteed and it's very team friendly and easy to get out of each year, or maybe after 2 years. I could see that happening, but I just really hope they don't dish out money for Devin Funchess, because I don't think he's anything special, and I think there's better, you know, 23, 24-year-old developmental players on the roster.
Yeah, I miss Robert Woods big time. The Bills letting him get away. I mean, he clearly didn't want to be in Buffalo, and he got to go home and play in LA. But he is the type of receiver that the Bills really could use, and it's unfortunate that they were able to draft such a good talent, and he goes out and essentially is the number one wide receiver on the Super Bowl team.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the Bills, because Whaley mismanaged the cap so badly, they didn't have the money to sign back Robert Woods. So even if, you know, they really wanted to keep him, they couldn't have. So two other guys that I see as potential options here are Tyrell Williams and Dante Moncrief. I can't see them spending any big-time money on a guy like Tyrell Williams, considering they kind of already have a receiver like that in Robert Foster, a guy that's a bit bigger, really quick, great, you know, downfield threat. What's the point of paying Tyrell Williams, you know, like 4 years, $30 million or something like that? Dante Moncrief is a guy whose value might go down from his 1 year, $9 million deal he just played with in Jacksonville and did absolutely nothing because Jacksonville was awful. That could be some value for a guy like Moncrief that's only 26. If they can get him for like a few years in, you know, maybe like a $5 million average value.
Yeah, Moncrief is an interesting guy. He is someone that I thought the Bills might have tried to get last year, and he has just been bouncing around teams the past few years and hasn't really found a home or a true role anywhere. Another guy that I think is interesting is Adam Humphries. Adam Humphries, he's only 25 or 26 years old, and he had a really good year last year. We got to watch when we got to watch him play, I was pretty impressed. And yes, he kind of fits in a similar role maybe as what Zay Jones does or what Isaiah McKenzie does in playing mainly out of the slot, but he is another guy that is probably going to be fairly cheap, and they could I think that's someone that the Bills could go after. I think overall in free agency they're not going to go make these big splash. I mean, they made a pretty big splash last year with Star Latulele. I don't know if they're necessarily going to do that this year, but Brandon Bean does say they will. They'll look at everyone. They'll spend the money where they feel they need to spend the money. So if there's a guy out there they really like, they will spend the money. I just think they're going to be cautious about where they do spend the money.
Yeah, and I can't see it being Adam Humphries, to be honest with you. I think he's going to be one of those guys that ends up getting a lot bigger deal than we expect because he's young, because, you know, he had such a breakout season last year. I think someone's going to overpay for him, and I don't think it's going to be the Bills, especially with him being a slot receiver. That would mean Zay Jones pretty much permanently goes outside, and he's a guy that benefits from getting some snaps in the slot. So I don't see Humphries being a Bill unless there's really no big market for him, which I see somebody overpaying there. A guy that's intriguing, Geronimo Allison, is a restricted free agent for the Packers. I expect him to be back there. He's a pretty good young wide receiver, and I don't think the Bills would be willing to part with a draft pick for him.
Yeah, and that signing restricted free agents is always tough, because you usually have to either overpay or put some sort of a poison pill in the contract that kind of forces their team from not wanting to match or not being able to match it. And that's another thing that makes it pretty tough. That's how they got Clay, if I recall correctly. Is that how they got Clay?
I think Clay was a transition tag guy. So okay. Pretty much a similar function as a restricted free agent.
Yeah, and signing restricted free agents is something you tend to have to overpay for them to force their team from not keeping them, unless they're a player that their current team just really doesn't want anymore.
Yeah, so in a nutshell, I don't see the Bills spending big on a wide receiver. I'd be shocked if they do, because this is a really weak wide receiver free agent class compared to most years. I could see them spending, you know, maybe $5 or $6 million on average for one guy, maybe signing another to a little bit less than that, but who it is, I have no idea. It's such an open position group on the roster that I wouldn't really be surprised by anything except for them spending a ton of money on a guy that's not that good.
Yeah, and there are quite a few prospects in the draft this year that are very, very good players, and there's a lot of wide receiver talent in the draft. I think I would lean more towards the Bills drafting multiple wide receivers in the draft instead of spending in free agency.
Yeah, Nate, and from early mock drafts, we've seen DK Metcalf as, you know, an early possibility for the Bills at 9. He's an absolute physical freak at 6'4", I think 230, is that right? And with
He was listed at like 215 last year, but then you saw that picture of him last week, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think he's 215 anymore. Yeah. I think he's probably a bit heavier than that. He was running like a 4.47 or 4.46 at 215. So he's a big, strong, fast wide receiver. He's body wise the prototypical number one wide receiver that NFL teams go after.
Yeah, that's right, and we can maybe have a debate as we get closer to free agency in the draft of the value of a true, like, 1A type wide receiver. Because you look at all the teams that go deep into the playoffs, it's not teams with 1A wide receivers, it's teams with 2 or 3 or 4 really good playmakers on offense, but nobody that really has such dominance on, you know, the percentage of targets. And I think that's interesting to see what the Bills do going forward, because if they don't really subscribe to that ideology of having a 1A wide receiver, I don't see them drafting DK Metcalf.
I think the Bills just have too many other needs to spend a draft pick on a wide receiver at number nine. They need a lot of help on the offensive line. They need some help on the defensive line. And I think those positions are probably more important at that point in the draft than drafting a wide receiver.
Yeah, I think you hit that right on the head, Nate. Like, if you have the choice between DK Metcalf and Ed Oliver at nine, who do you think the Bills take? I think it's Ed Oliver every time.
Yeah, I mean, you're taking Ed Oliver. I mean, that's not really even the choice between DK Metcalf and Jonah Williams or Rashawn Gary. I think you're still going with the lineman over the wide receiver.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. You can get really good wide receivers on day two in the draft, and you know, that's really where championship rosters are built. So we won't spend too much time on the wide receiver draft class at this point in time. So we'll move along to tight end, where Jason Kroon is the only guy on the Bills roster right now at that position after Charles Clay was cut.
Yeah, so tight end is a position that they're going to have to add multiple players. They're probably going to end up having to add at least three before training camp. And the tight end class in this year's draft is deep. And this is the best tight end class in quite a long time. And I think that the Bills are certainly going to draft a tight end. If I had to say right now, I would say they would draft a tight end in the draft before they drafted a wide receiver.
That's interesting, Nate. And I think Logan Thomas will be back. He's a restricted free agent. I think they'll probably just sign him to a veteran minimum contract because he showed enough improvement as a blocker that he's worthy of like that third tight end spot. But, yeah, they're going to have to address it in the draft, and they're going to have to do it early.
Yeah, and they're lucky that this is a deep class. I mean, there is one of the best tight ends to come out in quite a long time. Two of the best tight ends to come out in a long time, and they're actually both from the same school, which is pretty crazy. But there's a chance that there's a tight end that goes in the top 10 this year. And that's TJ Hockenson. I would not be surprised if he goes in the top 10. I mean, Eric Ebron went 10th, and I think Hockenson is head and shoulders above where Ebron was at this point in his career. So it's gonna be an interesting draft for tight ends. And I don't think the Bills are gonna go for a tight end in round one. Like, I don't think they'll draft Hockenson 9th. I think they're gonna go for a tight end early in the draft.
Yeah, I agree, Nate. I could see them definitely doing it on day two. If they trade back from nine, like into the late teens, early 20s, maybe they go for a guy like Hockenson. But there's also a pretty underrated free agent class for tight ends. And I think they're definitely going to dip into this pool as well. I don't expect like a huge signing money-wise, but a guy like Austin Seferian Jenkins, where the physical talent is undeniable, it's worth taking a flyer on if it doesn't cost you much.
Yeah, it certainly is. And that I'm sure that the Bills will sign someone. There are some good tight ends, some tight ends that have shown they can make an impact at the NFL level. They're not necessarily tight ends that are going to be, other than Tyler Eifert, not tight ends that are going to be all pros or pro bowlers. And Eifert's injury history scares me away from him probably at this point in his career. But yeah, I think Seferian Jenkins is a guy that he clearly has a talent. He was a second round draft pick. He's made when he's been healthy, and when he had those couple seasons in Tampa Bay at the beginning of his career, he was pretty good. He made some pretty good plays with Jameis Winston, and then he's kind of bounced around to the Jets and the Jaguars this past season. And he's probably going to be cheap. He hasn't really shown enough to merit any kind of a big contract.
Yeah, and he is a guy that has two DUI arrests, I think, one in college, one in the NFL. But he seems to have righted the ship, as far as I know, since that DUI when he was with Tampa Bay a couple years ago and got cut. He had a really good year with the Jets in 2017. But I think playing with that Jacksonville offense and Blake Bortles is going to kill, you know, his value for him, which kind of opens the door for a team like the Bills to find value from a team perspective by getting a really good player cheaper than he's probably worth. If you can lock up Zafarian Jenkins, you know, on a team-friendly 2 or 3 year deal worth a few million a year, you know, contingent on him playing well, I'm all for that. I mean, the guy's 26 years old. You also have guys like Jesse James, Nick Boyle, who are 25 and 26 respectively. There's just a lot of young, decent tight end two talent that, you know, isn't going to cost you much.
Yeah, and the Bills now, for the first time in a long time, they have a quarterback that they can use to recruit skill position players on offense. I mean, they can use Josh Allen to recruit these players. I mean, there are a lot of guys out there that want to go to a team with a young quarterback that is going to be able to get them the ball. And a quarterback with an arm like Josh Allen is someone who I think is going to be a selling point for a lot of free agents. I think that's something the Bills are going to try to use as a selling point for a lot of free agents.
Yeah, so, you know, we kind of touched on the draft class. There is one guy at the top of the free agent class that will probably spark some interest from a lot of teams, and that's Eric Ebron. Do you see the Bills taking a swing on Ebron or no?
I don't think so, and again, I think that is more because of the money. Ebron had such a good year last year with the Colts, and the Colts are going to be they're good, and they have Andrew Luck, and I would think that Ebron's going to end up back in Indianapolis. That would be my guess.
Yeah, I think you're right. They have a ton of money to burn in free agency. I'd expect them to bring Ebron back at a price that no one else really wants to match for a guy who is quite terrible, especially considering he's the 10th overall pick. And, you know, he's not a very good blocker, as far as I know. And he's kind of just a red zone threat. So I see him back with the Colts probably, and I don't see the Bills getting in a bidding war for a guy that doesn't block all that well for the amount of money he's going to command as a tight end.
Yeah, I mean, he scored 13 touchdowns last year, so he can use that in his negotiating. Like, I scored 13 touchdowns last year. You're going to have to pay me for that 13 touchdown production, even though the chances of him scoring 13 touchdowns again in 2019 are probably pretty slim.
Yeah, especially considering Jack Doyle is better than he is and missed pretty much the entire season due to injury. So, I don't want the Bills to get in on that bidding war. But I do want to see the Bills sign someone in free agency that can be a decent weapon as a tight end, too. And I want to see them get an actual game-changing tight end, because that's the key to having a great offense if you, you know, have a good quarterback and a couple other good skill position guys.
Yeah, and the game-changing tight end is going to have to come in the draft, but there are so many tight ends in this year's draft that have the potential to be game-changing tight ends that I think we could probably devote an entire episode on the pod to talking about just the incoming rookie tight ends. And there's not very many years in the NFL that you can say there are that many that are draftable.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure, and we'll get more into that as we approach the draft and see what the Bills do early on in free agency. So, Nate, we don't want to go on too long with this. This will probably be one of our longest, you know, position group pods as we get closer to free agency. Is there anything else you want to add on running backs, wide receivers, tight ends that we might have missed?
I think we just about covered it. The biggest thing for the Bills is spending money in an efficient manner. And I think Brandon Bean is – I'm fully behind Brandon Bean. I think he fully understands that, and he's made that clear to the media when he's spoken to the media that they will spend the money where they think the money is appropriate in the draft and or in free agency, and in the draft they're going to draft the best player that's available at their draft slot when it gets to them. And I like the way that Brandon Bean has gone about building this roster, and I have the full faith that they will address all of these needs that we just discussed going into 2019.
Yep, I think you've summarized that perfectly, Nate. Bean said they will be judicious with the cap, and I certainly hope that's so, and that they don't overpay for skill position guys where they can, you know, get some value in the draft. I hope they find value in free agency as well. So I think that'll bring us to an end of this episode of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am your co-host, Alex Ballinger.
And I am Nate Schreiber.
Subscribe, download, give us a rating wherever you get your podcasts, so that can help boost our rating and help others find the pod. Do us a favor and share it with a friend this week so we can continue growing as we go through the off season here. And you can follow us on Twitter at Bills_breakdown. Send us any segment ideas or questions, things you want us to talk about, BillsBreakdownPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.